Welcome in to another episode of Cheese Focus Live. We've got kind of a fun show. Some serious business to get over. Yes, we're going to talk Rashee Rice and the arrest warrant that's out. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about the draft that's coming up in exactly 2 weeks. I can't believe it's this close already. We're going to talk about what we would do in terms of trading up, whether she should trade up or not, and get into that discussion. And maybe, if time allows it, we're going to talk some Kansas City Royals. But this is Gone Tonight, so it's just me, Quentin Morris. We got Caleb, the professor, and the old man himself, JP. Two guys who are willing to give up literally everything to trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's get into it, gentlemen.
I want to really quick give a shout-out to Thiz. Happy anniversary to
Happy
your
anniversary,
wife.
Buddy.
And enjoy the evening. You guys don't get a whole lot of them with all those damn kids. So enjoy what you can, man. anyway, I wanted to tell him happy anniversary and enjoy his time. So with that being said, let's get right into this thing.
Yeah, let's start off with the serious news before we kind of lean off into some more fun stuff. So for those of you that don't know, an arrest warrant has been put out for Rashee Rice. I'm just going to read off the ABC affiliate, Dallas article here. So their ABC affiliate, Channel 8, down in Dallas, put out a great article that breaks things down here. He faces 8 charges, all of which are felonies, 6 counts of collision involving bodily injury, 1 count of collision involving seriously bodily injury, and 1 count of aggravated assault. That comes straight off the warrant. This, I think, is important to add context in the article. They talked to Dallas defense attorney George Milner. He says that he isn't likely to face prison time, considering that the injuries involved in the crash weren't critical. Quote, if he is well represented, he won't go to prison, Milner said. I don't think any of the victims want him to go to prison. I don't know that for certain, but most of them want to be compensated, and that's for his case. And that's the play for his case. So I think it's important to bring that up. I will also say that there is still a chance that more charges could come. There currently right now aren't any charges for him leaving the scene. There aren't any charges for, you know, possession of the marijuana that was in the car. Now, I'm not saying that any of those charges will come. I'm not trying to speculate anything involved in that. I'm just saying that there is still a chance that more charges could come his direction. This is just what the police have put out on his arrest warrant for right now. And, you know, that's it. Right now, we're still kind of in the speculation phase. Both the NFL and the Chiefs have, you know, not commented on any penalties coming his direction. This is continued to be a developing story. And, you know, we now have that sort of next step to where there's now an arrest warrant out for his name. The article here does bring up the fact that Dallas police typically let suspects turn themselves in before they go searching for somebody. So, you know, with this arrest warrant coming out today, yesterday, you know, there is still time for him to, you know, turn himself in. And
I think he has 72 hours, if I'm not mistaken, to turn himself in.
Yeah, so
he's going to turn himself in. There's no point for him.
Yeah,
there,
this is a, like I said, this is still a very developing story. It just so happens that, you know, when we're doing our show is on a Thursday, and so there will be more information as this develops. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we need to talk about. Unfortunately, around this time of year, if players are in the news, it's probably not for a good thing. And, you know, this is what, you know, this is what has been happening up until this point. So why don't you guys talk about, you know, what you have to say, and then, you know, we'll just go from there.
You know, I want to say this without pissing people off, but if it does, oh well. You know, there's been so much speculation on social media and within the news and the Mike Florios of the world, Jesus Lord, saying things that, you know, just are uncalled for, unheard of. He's 23 years old. I'm not condoning anything he did. It was stupid. He knows it was stupid. But, you know, everybody makes mistakes. It's one of those things where he just made a giant mistake because he had the money to make a giant mistake. Everybody out there saying, well, you know, I wasn't, you didn't see me out running a Corvette in a Lambo at 23 years old. That's because you couldn't afford one. You can't. You don't know what you would have done at 23 years old if you had the money to do so. So let's not condemn him for something that was a giant mistake and make him out to be the biggest piece of crap on the planet, because he's really not. He's a good kid. Everybody that I've spoken to that knows him, that's around him, from the team to friends to everybody, said he's a great kid. He has no enemies. Mm-hmm. And as far as that attorney is concerned, he's right, because another attorney had said the exact same thing. He was not going to be different. They want to be paid. And it's strange to me that people...
I talked to a news reporter a couple of days ago, and he said, you know, it's funny that all of a sudden everybody that was standing around the accident, as soon as they found out who he was, had serious bodily injury, ended up in a hospital. And I said, well, there was a couple of them that were, I believe, went to the hospital while they were on scene.
Yeah, I think people showed up. That. Let me see. Yeah. Let me get the number. I believe it's two, but...
Then all of a sudden, four more showed up at the hospital, and, it, you know, as soon as they found out that...
Two of the crash victims were taken to the hospital. But look, yeah. Even... Look, let's.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they didn't have something happen afterwards. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, and he's just saying, that it was just, you know, it's kind of a play on money to a degree. And I don't know. It's just a hard situation because he did make a giant mistake. You know, it's something that he can't come back from. He's just got to fix it and move forward. And whether it's compensation or whatever the case may be, he's got to fix it with the Chiefs. He's got to fix it with the NFL. He's got to fix it with the victims. The Lamborghini he totaled. And we failed to mention that the driver of the Vette is facing those exact same charges.
Yes, that's another thing that was in here as well. Look, let's be honest. Let's have an honest conversation about this for a minute. Rashee Rice could have killed somebody.
He could have.
Okay. Thankfully, he didn't. You know, thankfully... For the most part, everybody seems to come out, you know, fine. There were two people taken, you know, to the hospital. It's a very serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that, you know, there's a reason why these charges are being put forth, because this was a very serious issue. One of the cars that was hit, the passenger had to be pulled out through the driver's seat window by first responders. Like, this was a very serious situation, and I think both things can be true, that it's a very serious situation, and it was a 23-year-old being stupid, making the one of the worst decisions that you could make with a Lamborghini, because, you know, this is a situation that, you know, like I said, is continuing to develop, but you're just thinking everything that you have that you didn't kill anybody, because you totally could have.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the whole thing. I mean, it's dumb. It was a stupid mistake, a poor decision on his part. I understand to a degree when you're young and all of a sudden you're thrusted into a lot of money. It's very tempting to do something stupid. And he did something stupid. So, of course, he's going to pay the penalty for it, but that should be the end of it. If he makes another mistake after that, then it's on him.
I was kind of sharing the same sentiment. It's just one of those things where, again, we really don't know much. We know a little bit what happened. Again, no one died, so that's a good thing. And we're going to see things play out with this, and just hopefully we can learn from the lesson, and hopefully this be a reminder to the other people, like, hey, you got this money and everything. You can't be doing silly things like that, because actions have consequences, rather positively and or negatively. So that's all I would say.
And let's be honest. I mean, and if anybody that doesn't know how Dallas Police Department works, they will throw everything they can at you at one time. And if that doesn't look like it's going to work, they will throw a few more things at you, because they know not everything is going to stick. They can't charge him directly with weed, even though it was in his car, because it wasn't in his possession at the time of the accident. He didn't have it on his person. So they can't say it was actually his or not. So that's going to be a thing that they probably won't be able to fight very well in court. The racing part, of course, but they haven't charged him with that, really. They didn't charge him with leaving the scene of the crime. The charges are very, at this point, are favorable for him in a lot of ways. Because out of those 8 counts, there could be 4 or 5 of those, maybe even 6 that are dropped. Because they can't really prove all of it. You know, they can't charge you with things they can't prove. If they want to add weed, they probably won't, because they really can't prove it was actually his.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a receipt laying around. So there's just certain things, like, you know, somebody had said something on Twitter, and I said, look, if anybody didn't think these charges were coming, you really don't know Dallas PD very well, and you don't know how the prosecution works in general, because they were going to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of...
Multiple crimes were committed. Of course charges were going to be sent somewhere.
Absolutely. So, you know, and honestly, they break it down, and it always sounds worse than it really is to a degree, because they break it down crime by crime by crime. Like, it's 7 different crimes. You know, it was actually 1 crime against 7 different people, or 6 different people.
Mm.
So it's really, when you think about it, the main crime that they're getting him with was really 1 crime that just happened to be a chain reaction to 6 different people. So it's going to be difficult for them to charge him with every single one of those. And that's part of what I think a lot of these attorneys are thinking. His attorney's thinking the same thing. I know the kid, from everybody I've talked to, said he's extremely remorseful. Nobody is, from the Chiefs at all, have mentioned anything about cutting him. The Mike Florio story, yeah, of course it can happen. And he made it out like it was going to happen. But right now the Chiefs have no plans on cutting him whatsoever.
Mm.
There's no termination of contract in play right now. None of that. So he's been very upfront with the team. He's been very upfront about taking responsibility.
Players have not been upfront in the problems that it's had. So
exactly. Exactly. Yep. And, you know, he did the right thing on that part of it. So it's just going to be a matter of time. You know, time will tell. And by the time it's all said and done, he may get 6 or 8 games. It may get reduced down to 2. A lot of people think he's not even going to get 2 games. I have a feeling he's going to get more than 2 because he was a rookie. He's new to the system.
It'll be one of those things where we may hear something later in this season, maybe next season.
Yeah, that's, it's going to drag out.
Yeah, if it, because we saw this with Frank Clark, right, where, you know, he had a gun charge and
then another gun charge.
Yeah. And then face the suspension in 2023. So, yeah. You know, this is one of those things that the NFL, you know, post the incident that caused all this, but the NFL is no longer as quick to the trigger anymore.
No.
Because of the Ray Rice situation. Where it was, you know, the NFL was so much faster to the trigger when it came to giving suspensions and stuff like that. And then now they will wait until everything sort of wraps itself up, and then the NFL will react. So this is sort of where we're at now on the NFL side. Because nobody was, you know, seriously harmed, and because there was no, at least up to this point, there's no evidence that there was any other, you know, substances involved. I still think that there's going to be no suspension to 2-game suspension. I still think it's on the lower end, but, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yep. No, I agree.
In terms of the draft, one transition from this into the draft. Do you think this incident makes it to where the Chiefs need to draft a wide receiver more in the first round than what they were going to do? Does this situation affect their draft board at all? Or should it?
I don't think it should. No, and I don't think it should.
I mean, they're going to take a receiver regardless, but I don't think this will make them take one in the first round. Unless, heaven behold, Marvin Harrison Jr. somehow falls to them, which will not happen. But someone that caliber, Malik Neighbors, falls down the board. Yeah. That's the only way they'll take a first round receiver.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. I can't see this changing their outlook, given the fact that it is going to take a lot longer. He's been very responsive with the Chiefs, and they do have a pretty good receiving core right now. I think they'll go ahead and draft where they draft. Now, do I think they're going to trade up at some point? I almost have a feeling they might. It just depends on if a certain player's in play. But I don't think it's going to be for a wide receiver. They're not going to trade up for a wide receiver. I don't see that happening.
Maybe a defensive player.
Maybe. Yep. Or a tight end. But I can't see him trading up for a wide receiver. I just can't. I don't see this situation causing that. I should put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think that it should change your draft plan, because I think, Caleb, you're right. Look, they obviously should already have drafting a wide receiver as one of their priorities. Mm-hmm. So don't really change their plan. You know, I think that if you remember, Mecole Hardman was – they traded up for Mecole Hardman because of what happened with the Tyreek Hill situation.
Yep.
And that seemed like a panic pick, right, where – you know, they had him on the board. They were interested in him doing it. Tyreek Hill situation hits, and they're like, we have to, because we just don't know what's going to happen. I just don't think that simulation situation is similar, and I've seen that comparison being thrown around, and I just don't think that these two situations are similar, because the allegations or charges against Rashee Rice are just not as serious in terms of suspension time, to where if, let's say, you lose Rice for 4 to 6 games, you know, you can live with that because the rest of your wide receiver room is what it is.
And what I was going to say is that two different situations, plus Tyreek Hill got in trouble beforehand, and it's kind of like, oh, all right, what did he do? He did something that previously looked similar. That's what people were alleging and saying, but then we find out things were different. But then the Rashee Rice situation is the first time we've heard that he's gotten into trouble to this extent. So different things happen in different places. So
yeah, and honestly, I mean, Rashee Rice didn't even have a parking ticket in his life. The kid was like squeaky clean. And you're right, Caleb, 100%. I mean, there was two totally different – but and to kind of rebut a little bit of that, they did trade up a little quicker because of the Tyreek situation, but Mecole was not ever on the draft board because of Tyreek. He was on the draft board to replace Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, but we talked about this before. Yeah, Sammy Watkins replacement.
Exactly. He wasn't there to replace Tyreek Hill. He was there to replace Sammy Watkins, because they knew that Sammy had so many injury issues and it was causing so many problems as far as, you know, play sheets and everything else that came along trying to plan for a game. I mean, the guy stubs his toe and he's out for 2 weeks. So it was one of those things to where, okay, we like this kid. We think he can fit within the system. He's going to replace Sammy in a year. But then when the Tyreek situation came up, they didn't know how it was going to play out. So, yeah, they moved up a little bit. But it really is – he was drafted, period, to replace Sammy Watkins. That was what the original plan was. So – but with Rashee, I can't see this – I just can't see it happening. I mean, they were always going to draft a wide receiver. There's
they
no
have
doubt
to.
About that.
The way they're operating, they're doing cheap budgets, 1-2 year deals, rookie deal guys.
Yeah,
they're always going to bring someone else in every year.
Absolutely.
That's a new personal
playbook. And honestly, it was a home run with Rashee Rice. So why not take a swing for the fences and do it?
Yeah, and he wasn't even a first round receiver that people were talking about. So.
Exactly. So I see that, you know. Now this, the only thing I will say is if for some reason, which I know this is not the case, if they didn't plan on drafting a wide receiver at 32, they may now. But I don't know, man. I just don't see
it. It's where it falls there, though, I feel like, too.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. So, it really, like I said, it's just going to depend on – I don't think it's going to change anything, but Veach and Andy already have a plan in place. And I can guarantee you they have this plan in place because they know that something like this can happen. This is not the first time we've had an issue with an offensive
– It won't be the last.
And it won't be the last. Just like it's not been the first time for any other football team.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that Andy and Veach put a plan in place just for this reason, a precautionary plan. You know, they're a step ahead of that. So what it play out?
Yeah, and I'll say this too, because it happens so far away from the draft, right? There's so much more lead up time to where you're able to, you know, develop a plan. You are able to sort of read the situation just because you have time on your side in this case, whereas the Tyreek Hill situation, I want to say it happened the week of the draft, or
it did happen.
I think it happened, or it might have happened like 2 days before the draft started. And so you just didn't have time on your side. That's why it felt like such a drastic move to happen.
Well, anyway, I mean, it was a good observation, but or a good question, but I don't see it changing anything at this point. So they may go from plan A to plan B, but it's not going to change much.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All right, let's head into our hypothetical of the evening. What would you guys want to move up? Do you want Kansas City to move up? If so, how far do you want them to move up?
In just the first round in general?
In the first round. Right now they're picking at 32. Where do you guys want them to move up? Do you want them to move up? Do you want them to move back? Where do you guys feeling right now? We're a couple weeks before the draft. How are you feeling right now?
I feel like the Chiefs, if you're going to move in, the sweet spot that I always found out, and they've been able to get good players, is from about, say, pick 19 to 26.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. That's where they've been able to get some really good guys like McDuffie. I think Karlaftis was in that mix a little bit there somewhere. But 1926, if you can have the draft capital, you can move up there. And I feel like they could take a cornerback or maybe a defensive lineman that falls, or maybe, if and only if, a tight end were to fall, that's a high caliber quality. That's a top 10, top 15 pickup slides down the board. That's what I believe, that 19 to 25, 26 range, that's where you can get some guys I think that could help. Example, CeeDee Lamb was supposed to be a top 10 pick and fall away to the pick 17 for the Cowboys. There's many different examples where this has happened. I think Joey Porter Jr., I think he was supposed to be like a top 15 pick, and he fell to like the end of the first round and got picked by the Steelers. So there's some things that could go the Chiefs' way, because, again, there's going to be a run on the quarterbacks at one point. There could be a run at the wide receiver. You never know, but it's going to cause the whole draft board to change. Everything's going to be different.
Absolutely. And if you remember on Joey Porter Jr., everybody thought the Steelers were going to trade up for him because of who his dad was, and they didn't have to. So it was one of those things. Exactly. And a lot of this just depends on, you know, everything changes up to the day of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an hour before it starts. Everybody changes their tune about who they're going to go after. They have five guys in mind in that first round, and unless they're going for a quarterback. And then they start seeing other things come along. And then they change their tune a little bit. I don't know that I would care if they did or didn't trade up. Now, I will say this. There is one particular player that if for some reason he falls, which I think he will a little bit, I don't think he's going to fall too far, but if they're able to trade up with a particular team that I think they're going to be able to trade up with, and it's going to be really high in the draft, I mean, as far as you're talking about between 6 and 10. I'm just going to put it that way. I'm not going to say the team. I'm not going to say anything about it.
The reason I'm saying that. But if it's the second coming, or Chiefs team is never going to let the guy hear the end of it on Twitter.
Well, the only reason I'm saying that is because I believe, from what I'm hearing, that there was a little bit of a kind of a deal made with a certain team.
Oh, well, the reports are out there that the Cardinals have already talked to Kansas City.
It wasn't the Cardinals, but yeah, they have talked to them.
That's one. Now, to me, that is not a case of Kansas City trading up. That's a case of Kansas City trading out of the first round. So, that means that if we're looking at what the Cardinals have, I guess I can just pull it up in front of me right here. I know we all know the Cardinals have the fifth round pick, right, overall. And the Cardinals, they also have the 27th overall pick that they got from Houston. So, in the second round, they have the 35th pick. So, is this a situation where Kansas City is looking to move up to 27, or is this a case where Kansas City is looking to trade out of the first round and get to pick 35 because Arizona is looking for a couple of specific players? Remember, this is a new regime for them. You know, last year was the first year of the defensive coordinator from the Eagles becoming the head coach, right? Mm-hmm. So is this a situation to where they're paying Kyler Murray, they know that they have to get cheaper at certain positions, like going after and drafting a Marvin Harrison Jr. They also have a ton of other holes on their roster. So is this the Cardinals looking to continue to acquire top-tier talent, or is Kansas City realizing that you're not going to be able to trade up and get, you know, super far up into the draft because there are teams that will refuse to trade with you, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But here's what's interesting to me. I talked about the Cardinals having the 27th overall pick. You want to know who's 28?
The Bills.
Buffalo.
Yeah, there we go.
You want to know who Kansas City's looking to trade in front of? Buffalo. Because the Buffalo Bills traded away Stephon Diggs, meaning they're in the draft market for a wide receiver. If Kansas City jumps in front of Buffalo again and drafts,
oh God, I want that Warren
and drafts a player that they're looking to draft again, man, then we'd have two videos to show of Kansas City jumping in front of them. So the information out there that the Chiefs have talked to Arizona, we don't know who initiated the call. And like I said, we don't know who's looking to make those moves. But honestly, I could see Kansas City moving up to 27, and I can see Kansas City moving back to 35. And either way, I'd be interested to see what the plan is. Because you know how I am. I'm all about acquiring more scratchy lotteries. I'm in the mindset that the more Powerball numbers that you can have, the better. Because this is a situation to where you're drafting at 32. What premium position can you really get? You're really not going to find a ton of really good pass rushers, elite pass rushers at 32. There's a good chance that the run at left tackles is going to go through before Kansas City even gets on the board. Mm-hmm. So wide receiver, I know that there's a ton of them. Guys like Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas Jr., the guys that we've talked about for the past month and a half, one of them might be there. But if you have a guy on your board, right, let's say the Chiefs are interested in Keon Coleman, okay? Hypothetically, let's just say the Chiefs like Keon Coleman. And he's available when you're on the board. But a team like the Cardinals calls you up and says, man, we'll give you pick 35 and X other assets to move up to 32. And you're sitting there and you're realizing, man, the Panthers, the Patriots, are they really going to draft Keon Coleman? Probably not. So you trade out of the first round, you pick up a couple of assets, and then at 35 you can still draft Keon Coleman. Kansas City's done that before.
Yes,
for Sky Moore. Yeah. When the Kansas City wanted to draft Sky Moore, the Patriots asked to trade with them. They traded with the Patriots, and they were still able to draft Sky Moore. Now, obviously, you know, the Sky Moore player hasn't necessarily worked out, but when we're talking draft and draft analysis in terms of this, to me it's not about what you did with the pick. To me it's more about what was your process of acquiring that pick. And I think that process of saying, man, we've got Keon Coleman as, you know, one of the better players up to this point, but we know the rest of the league isn't as high on him. So let's move back. We can probably still get our guy, and we can acquire, you know, pick 138 or whatever.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And I can see that actually happening. I mean, Veach, he's methodical. Again, it's very difficult. Like we said, it's very hard to find a team that will trade up with you, with the Chiefs. I'll put it that way.
And we know that, right? Because there have been two wide receivers that have been traded this offseason where Kansas City was on the no-trade list.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Exactly. Kansas City is getting embargoed by the rest of the league. So it was when Stephon Diggs said that, you know, he was looking for a trade, the Bills said that there were two teams he could not go to. It was the Bengals and it was Kansas City.
Yep.
And then we had the Steelers – who traded away? Oh, what was?
He ended up going to the Carolina Panthers.
I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh man, I can't remember. Either.
But he went to the Panthers.
But he ended up going to Carolina, and literally the only team that he said that he could not look to get a trade to would be Kansas City. And what's? I mean, because here's the thing: the Buffalo one makes sense to me, right? Buffalo saying that, hey, we don't want them to get, you know, better. We've been going back and forth, right? We're sort of in that top echelon of the league. You know, we don't want to improve them.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers one just baffles me.
Okay, think about it though, Quentin. If you're
Who's
Mike Tomlin,
player, though? I can't remember the guy's
name. I can't
name.
Think of his name either. Hey, what's up, man? If you're Mike Tomlin, okay, and you are regarded as one of the top coaches in the NFL, which he is, but yet you're constantly being compared to Andy Reid. Every week of your life, you're compared to Andy Reid. Well, you know, Andy did it. Andy got Mahomes. Andy did it with no wide receivers. Andy did it when he was at home eating a cheeseburger. That is what sets these guys off. It's not so much of the fact that we're just damn good, because people traded with the Patriots. They traded with the Patriots all the time.
Randy Moss.
20 freaking years they traded with the Patriots. It's the fact that Andy Reid is the best coach in football. When you got three other coaches in the league that are compared to a top echelon coach in the league are supposed to be, two of them are in the AFC, yet
you can't beat this man to save your life and you can't keep him out of the Super Bowl, no matter how bad his offense looks, no matter how many drops they had, no matter how bad their defense was in the past, shit. I don't know if I'd want to trade with him either. I mean, that's kind of hurtful. Well,
and the Steelers are at a point where they're starting to crack back into that, oh, we're kind of there, possibly.
Yeah.
A lot of things got to be figured out, too.
But let's talk about this, though. Cincinnati, really quick. They're not – I don't know if they're going to be able to keep – what's his name? What's that wide receiver?
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins.
Yeah.
He wants out.
Let me wrap up this conversation before we move on to T. Higgins. It was Deontay Johnson.
That's what it was.
It was Deontay Johnson, and I'm just interested to know if this is going to be a precedent moving forward to where teams around the AFC, like I said, the Bills one makes sense, the Steelers one still kind of, because if Kansas City had an offer for you and you just went ahead and went with Carolina, that to me, that says a lot about how the rest of the AFC feels about Kansas City, and it makes me wonder if the Chiefs are going to once again have time, a difficult time moving up in the draft. Because remember, last year, Kansas City tried to trade with multiple teams up in the draft, including the Cowboys.
Oh my God.
And nobody wanted to trade up with Kansas City, or no one wanted to trade with Kansas City to allow them to move up. So that's why they opted staying to where they were and to draft FAU. So this is something that I want to keep an eye on, and it will not surprise me if, let's say, once again, let's pick a team. The Dolphins at 21, or, you know, even if you go to like 17 with the Jaguars, which I think would be very expensive to move up. But if you've got the Dolphins at 21 and you're trying to move up and to right around that area, that early 20s area, and nobody wants to do it with you, especially when you're in the AFC. That's why it was very interesting to me when the reports came out that the Cardinals and the Chiefs were in conversations about their draft picks, because we may have found a team that if there's their guy sitting at 27, Kansas City may be able to move up and trade with the Arizona Cardinals.
Good point.
There's another team out there that trades well with the Chiefs, and that is Minnesota. They do trade well with the Chiefs. During the season and during the draft.
The
Giants,
have,
for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota does have the 23rd pick that they acquired from Houston, which is originally – this is that, like, web of, like, where all these draft picks come from.
Where did they go?
The 23rd pick is originally supposed to be the Cleveland Browns pick, which Houston got through the Deshaun Watson trade. Mm-hmm. And then Minnesota picked it up because it looks like they're acquiring ammo to trade up for a quarterback.
Ooh.
So this is going – we're going to go back one of these days, and we're going to get one of those, like, 30 for 30s or whatever of, like, the impact of the Deshaun Watson trade. And it could hypothetically be that Minnesota gets their franchise quarterback because of the Deshaun Watson trade.
Very well.
This is the craziness that is the NFL draft and where all of these draft picks come from.
Because, so funny to –
yeah,
to just,
web of – where this pick come from, and then it gets traded over here. Because these NFL teams view, if it's not your 1-7 pick, they view these other picks as like extra asset. It's like bonus.
Exactly.
And so the wheeling and dealing that happens with these draft picks is just fascinating. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little T. Higgins.
That's a saga. That is a saga right there. I'm telling you, this guy doesn't want to be there, and everybody is saying that their sources through Cincinnati are saying this is going to be a draft time trade. If he's traded around the draft, oh my God. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't know what they're going to do. They don't have anybody left besides him and Chase at this point. So it's going to be interesting, man. I'd love to. I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think they'll re-sign him. He wants out. And he's made that very clear.
If he garners enough picks, then they will make the move. Deadline makes deals. So
yeah, here's the thing. If you're whatever team you think is interested in trading for T. Higgins right now, there are plenty of wide receiver needy teams. But the draft is right around the corner. Why would you trade for T. Higgins before the draft?
Why would you trade the draft time trade?
It was surprising.
Why would you trade for him during? Because if you're that needy for a wide receiver, there are six, seven, eight first round ish wide receivers available.
The only reason you do that, Quentin, is because you don't have the wide receiver coach or the coaching staff to be able to bring these guys up to par that are coming out of college. You want somebody that is already established, that knows how to play the game, that has got the credentials. And I think a lot of teams look at it that way. They don't have the coaching staff to make a wide receiver top dog the first year. And that's what they're all looking for right now. Everybody's looking for a reason to knock off somebody else, whether it's the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, or the Bills. The Bills not so much because they're not going to be very good this year. But those teams, the first three, yes. And I think that's the reason why, dude. And honestly, the Texans are the same. The Texans right now are the other team to beat in the AFC.
Yep.
So I think that's the reason why, dude. They don't have enough confidence in their coaching staff, so they're looking for somebody that's already established in the league.
And it's at a point where they just want to continue to move on. They think if they can just have someone to come and just take the role, they're going to be in a better spot. They're just
exactly.
Yeah, like from the Bengals' perspective, God forbid. I'm a Bengals fan, and I'm putting on my, you know, no Super Bowl winning hat. And I'm thinking about, okay, from a draft perspective, from a team development perspective, trading T. Higgins is the best thing that you can do, right? Getting the assets for him, I don't have to pay him, I got my use out of him, and I can try to acquire draft picks for him so I can move on and try and draft the next guy. I've got my true number one wide receiver. Everybody else that's in this wide receiver room is going to be – it's going to be a circus of just different guys all the way through Joe Burrow's career because I'm paying my quarterback and I already have a number one wide receiver, okay? So that right there, I 100% agree with the notion of I'm going to trade T. Higgins instead of paying him.
Mm-hmm.
Then it comes to, well, you need two to tango. So who's the team that you want to trade with in order to move up and get a guy? And the teams that I'm looking at here that I'm like, okay, yeah, they could use a T. Higgins, right? He's a top one fringe or he's a top two fringe one kind of wide receiver. I'm looking at these names and I'm like, okay, you're high enough into the draft to where you can get a better talent than T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. Why would I go ahead and do that? And you have to remember they have to pay him too, right? You trade for a guy that's on an expiring contract. He got franchise tag, then you're going to have to go in and pay him. And I'm just like, okay, the Saints, no, they're not going to trade for him and then pay him. The Steelers have a long history of developing their own wide receivers. The Rams at 19, they have Cooper Kupp and they have they just drafted a rookie wide receiver who ended up with the most yards out of the rookie class, and they drafted him in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. So there's just not a lot of teams that I'm seeing here. The Raiders.
Maybe.
Well, they're an unproven offense, dude. They're an unproven offensive. They don't have any offensive coaches. Huh?
I said, like, this guy's going to be traded to the NFC at the end of the day. I don't see him in
most likely. I'm just saying they're a team that you can look at and go, okay, that team doesn't really have a proven coaching staff, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So maybe we could trade for him. You know, a team like that that doesn't really have a proven track record of being an offensive juggernaut in any way could really benefit from somebody like him.
I've got one team that I think might be able to do it. The Green Bay Packers. Young quarterback.
I can see that. Yeah.
You have a late – and I don't even think you're getting a first-round pick for him. I think it would be ridiculous to get a first-round pick for him. But
yeah,
you've got a back end of whatever round, right? They're picking 25th overall in the first round, so it's you know the 25th in each round. The young quarterback, they're not really paying yet. He's not on his rookie deal anymore, but he doesn't have the massive contract. You really aren't paying anybody else on the offensive side of the ball, right? You don't have they had the youngest receiver core last year, one of the youngest receiver cores last year, so maybe adding him into the room, get sort of that veteran presence, whatever, that sort of stuff. That would be the only team that I could see that actually goes out and makes a move, and they're in the NFC. Other than that, I don't think it makes a ton of sense for any of these other teams to invest significant draft capital now.
Okay. I agree with you, but then in the same aspect, how many times have we seen teams make giant mistakes like that and rush to judgment deals? And they do it all the time. So, I mean, it's not like it would be unheard of if a team out there decided to go ahead and trade. I mean, look what the Broncos did. They traded their future away.
The Broncos are in a whole different category. Actually,
I know. You're right.
Whatever, you're right.
I'm just saying it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that a team would make a rash decision and trade off their future for one player.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Are they going to trade a first-round pick? No. Nobody would do that. I don't think anybody would have – nobody is that ignorant.
Especially because you have to pay him, right?
Exactly. You can't give away a first-round and pay him that kind of money. You just can't do it.
Four from the six or three and a five.
This was a third of the problem with trading L'Jarius Sneed, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, you know, his knee problems and all the other stuff that came up. Part of the problem for trading him was you have to give him a new contract, which plummets his value in a trade.
Yeah. That's what hurts you when you get tagged a lot of times, but protect the team. So anyway, really quick right now, if you had to pick three AFC teams that were even close to being competition for the Chiefs, who would be your number one out of those three right now?
Ooh, my number one out of those three. I would say the Ravens.
Okay.
That's my pick.
That's your pick?
Yeah.
I think the gut reaction
is going to be there.
I think the gut reaction is to be like, well, it's the Texans, right? I think that's the gut reaction is to go, well, it's the Texans. C.J. Stroud, you know, looks already like an elite quarterback. They just got a upper-level talent wide receiver on top of what they already had. They've got some serious defensive talent, and they've got a bunch of picks. I think 8 or 9 picks heading into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I want to slow down a little bit on the Texans, just because some context around it. Last year they had a fourth place schedule, right?
Yes,
so they weren't playing great talent. Now, obviously, it's still NFL talent, but you're facing fourth, you know, worst team in each division talent. You're also this year going to be completely flipping that, right? You're going to be facing the best teams in each division as a first place schedule. So I don't think that I immediately want to just jump on the bandwagon of, you know, the Texans are the you know, next best thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Texans are going to be good. I do think C.J. Stroud is that guy. I do like the team building that they're doing down in Houston. I do like that part of it. I'm hesitant to be like, look at this team. It's going to be fantastic. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. So I would probably put Houston on that like second tier, and I'm probably with Caleb taking the boring pick of just saying that Baltimore is going to be up there. Mm-hmm. I'm down on the Bills. I don't know how you could be excited about what the Bills have done. They're doing a mid-season rebuild or a mid-Josh Allen, you know, rebuild to where they have the quarterback, but they continue to need to put pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably put Cincinnati in there. My only thing is that they've been very quiet about his injury still.
Yes.
Usually around this time, and we've seen this in all sports, right? Especially since, you know, athletes have been on social media. They're putting out videos of them training.
And
right?
He's not – you haven't seen
and
one
haven't
about
seen
him.
Anything.
Nothing.
And that's worrying, right? When the Royals' first baseman, Vinny Pasquantino, tore his shoulder and had to have season-ending surgery – after a few months post-surgery, post-rehab, he was putting out videos of him hitting batting practice. I mean, you could talk about any athlete, right? After they've had surgery, they put a few, whether it's on their Instagram, whether it's on Twitter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the official team account is putting out videos of guys hitting rehab, especially if they're star players, right? That's just what you do. You to keep the fans excited, to let them know, hey, you know, I'm coming back. We haven't seen anything from Joe Burrow, and
And that may be strategic too, though. That may be a little strategic thing in his arrogant way of saying, okay, they all think I'm done. I'm not going to be any good this year. I'll just pop up and try to steal the show.
So,
and that could be very well what that is.
That to me is concerning. But, you know, with the assumption that Joe Burrow comes back and he's healthy, I'm probably going Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens, Houston is probably the order of, like, that tier list, the power rankings, if you will, in the AFC. I think that the Chargers have won the offseason Super Bowl. You know,
again,
we will be.
They always do
posting out the Lombardi.
They've got to make a trophy for them guys. They have to make a trophy for those guys.
Well, I'm sure
they
we'll need the offseason Super Bowl trophy. when training camp kicks off and we see, you know, all the even before training camp, it'll be like June 12th, right? It'll be the dead of the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. And guys, somebody somewhere on NFL Network, on ESPN, somebody, some talking head somewhere is going to be like, hey, guys, did you see that Chargers draft? Oh, yeah. Oh, you see Jim Harbaugh? He's in there living that RV, next to where all the players are hanging out. Oh, my God, dude, Chargers. They're going to beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, or to go to the Super Bowl. That's what's going to happen. They're going to win the division. Patrick Mahomes is going to have to go on the road again. He can't do that 2 years in a row. Chargers are going to the Super Bowl. Let's go. That's going to happen. And it's going to be like June 12th. And we're going to have to come on this show, and I'm going to be like, are you fucking kidding me? Can we just move on? Okay, now I got to waste my breath to talk about how dumb the kind of crap that comes out of your mouth is. And it's going to be a whole thing. All right.
You know who's the king of that is Steve Reich. That dude is always talking up the Chargers every year. Caleb, do you remember the year that he said it was – I think it was three, four years ago. He said, this is the Chargers year. They're definitely going to the playoffs. This is the team – he was on NFL Network, 20-minute segment about this. This is the team. That is going to take
it's always on Good Morning Football.
Oh, this was like his own show.
This is
their year. And then when they got blown out of the playoffs, or no, they didn't make it to the playoffs. The Raiders beat him that year and kept him out of the playoffs. I sent him a message on Twitter and I said, so what happened to your Chargers?
I remember this.
Well, they lost. What do you mean? I said, I know, but they were going to beat the Chiefs and they were the team to beat. Well, I guess they weren't. Never said another word again. I mean, I thought it was great. That was one of my favorite all-time conversations on Twitter alone, was just arguing, just giving him crap about that. But he did it every year. And it's weird. He's a big baseball fan from St. Louis. But yet, I don't know if he's got a thing against the Chiefs. I don't know what it is. But he picked the Chargers every year. Huh?
You know, he's from St. Louis.
That could be it, too. That could be it. Just that alone could have did it. But yeah, it was kind of comical. I mean, I thought it was funny. But yeah, man, I don't know if I have the Titans that low or the Texans that low. I can't.
We need to see how they play, and I do agree with Quinn. They need to – how they face against some adversity.
But I got to say, I am not sleeping on the Titans this year. I know they are a sleeper team, and nobody's really thinking they're going to do a whole lot. But they picked up some really good weapons, and I think they're a team that – people, they're sleeping on right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a team that gives everybody else a little bit of a push. And you just don't know. But I don't know what their quarterback's going to be like. Everybody's really high on him down there. And a lot of
the Mayo man.
Yeah. A lot of people are high on him. But I don't know, man. I got a feeling they may be a team that has a pretty decent record this year. Now, are they going to be a rival for the Chiefs? Probably not. But they're going to be a team that you can honestly say this might be a good football team this year. They're putting the right pieces in place.
My pre-draft sleeper team, I think you're in the right division, wrong team.
Who are you thinking?
I think it's Indianapolis. They almost made the playoffs with their backup quarterback.
Almost ain't good enough.
I think that, you know, we didn't get to see a lot of Richardson, you know, when he was playing because he hurt his shoulder. A non-throwing shoulder, I believe. But he was already interesting coming out, right? He just didn't have a ton of on-field experience, and he was throwing the ball well, running the ball. I think that that team has a lot of talent around them, too. To me, it's just if you can make it that far without your starting quarterback, right? And I know Gardner Minshew has a, you know, almost cult-like following. But
he really does. It's kind of strange. It's almost weird to me. I mean,
Minshew magic.
You know, it's a lot like Fitzpatrick, right? Fitzpatrick had that, you know, sort of cult-like following for a while. But look, when you get that far with a backup quarterback and your starting quarterback, we saw the talent both in college and to start his NFL career. Yeah. I think that that's a team that I would pick over, you know, definitely more than the Titans. Plus, like I said, I like the way that they sort of built their team. They post Andrew Luck era, they've done a lot of work to fix the offensive line, and they've spent resources into the defense. So, you know,
I mean, it's been 7 years, so I'd hope they've done something in the last 7 years since he retired. But
let me rephrase that. They've done post the whoever the GM was of the Andrew Luck era, because he completely refused to build in the trenches, and that mentality has been flipped.
They're just very cheap. Yes. They're very cheap when it comes to not just players but coaching as well. And I think that's a huge problem for that football team. I can see they don't build a lot in depth. And if you don't have a lot of depth and you have injuries and you have, inevitable injuries that are going to happen, your season's pretty much over. So I think that's my only quorum with them, is that the fact that they just don't build their team the way they should. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough depth pieces to fill the shoes. That's my problem with them. Other than that, I mean, yeah, they're a good football team. But I see the Texans doing things this year that are going to surprise people. Though. So, or the Titans, I'm sorry. The Texans.
And they very well could do it. I mean, it'd be good for the NFL.
It would. The Texans, I think, if he doesn't have a sophomore slump, and they can get through the number one schedule this year, because that's what they're going to go against, and that's something that is going to really define C.J. Stroud. If he can go out there and play his game the way he played last year, or a little bit better, he's going to have to be better, then that's going to say, okay, this kid's got – he's legitimate. I like the way he played the game. If I had to pick him over three other quarterbacks in this league right now, I'd probably pick him, even though he's only 1 year into the system. I would still probably pick him. That kid's got a lot of talent, extremely intelligent, and very versatile. So, I don't know, man. I think that kid has all the talent and all the attributes to be able to win a Super Bowl within the next 5 years. I really believe he does. Do I think he's going to have one in the first two or three?
So they can do anything at this point.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just they look good. And I love their coach. I love him. I mean, I think he's a great coach. And even though he's defensive-minded, he understands how to operate both sides of the ball. And that's what I like about him. I know he was a defensive head or DC. I know all of that. But he knows how to operate on both sides of the ball. And that's something that's rare when you have somebody that's so far one way or the other. It's hard. And he does a good job of it. Mm-hmm. Deserve that job. So, anyway, I just wanted to find out. Now, one other question. Who do you think in the NFC is a team that can make it to the Super Bowl if the Chiefs repeat? Who they plan? Who do you think that's done well enough this year, right now, to this point, and say, okay, this team,
like kind of a sleeper team, not like I can't, you know, so we don't just be like
they don't even have to be. I mean, it doesn't. It can be a sleeper team. It doesn't necessarily have to be, because the NFC is so wide open when it comes to that. I mean, other than the 49ers, it's anyone's game. So, who would it be? If anybody says the Cowboys, I'm going to end this show.
It's Cowboys.
Fuck.
No. It's not going to work. I don't know. I mean, the NFC is just a little conference. There's just not many powerhouses.
It really isn't.
We may have someone do a little spurt, but that's it. I mean, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head now that could.
I do like the Packers.
Seahawks.
Can make it to the Super Bowl?
Maybe. Packers are, I think, I agree with Quinn. Packers could be that team.
I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you think? You think it's just is that all you got, the Packers?
I mean, that's like my, you know, non-division winner to try and do it. You know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of what the Cowboys are able to do in the playoffs, right? So no matter, you know, they'll win 12 games and, you know,
fall on their ass.
Screwed up. Yeah. The Eagles, I've been very vocal about. I can't believe they haven't improved their secondary at all. I don't care who you get in the draft. You're not rebuilding your secondary completely through the draft in 1 year. So I'm out on the Eagles. So then you go to the NFC North. Okay, the Packers are sitting there. Vikings, even if they draft a quarterback, it's probably going to be the fourth best quarterback, so I'm out on there. I think the Bears are going to be significantly improved and will be a great pick to be the team to go from worst to first in their division and make a playoff spot. But past that, I don't know if Caleb Williams and the Bears can win a playoff game in their first year. So then we go to the NFC South, which is just a burning pile of garbage, right?
Yes, it is.
There's not a lot going on down there.
All right.
I can't imagine that Kirk Cousins will make his first Super Bowl run with the Atlanta Falcons, even though it's going to be a fun team to watch. I think that offense is going to be fun. I'm just not a believer in the pile of the NFC South. And then you head out to the West, and you've got Rams, post Aaron Donald, another year, Matt Stafford, the Cardinals. I'm interested to see what they do in the draft, and Kyler Murray is fun to watch. 49ers are going to continue to be consistent until they have to pay their quarterback. So Seahawks, Geno Smith's their quarterback again? Not a believer there. So that's my quick logic on why I think the Packers are sort of that sleeper team to beat.
I get it. I actually, the reason I like the Rams, and it's not so much of the, I mean, I get it, Aaron Donald's not there, but Sean McVay's probably the best coach in the NFC, is the best coach in the NFC. Him and, in my opinion, I think he's better than what's his name there in San Francisco. I think he's a better coach.
Shanahan.
I think he has the opportunity right now to finish off his career because he wants to retire young. He doesn't want to finish his career. You know, he doesn't want to be a Bill Belichick. He doesn't want to. You know, he just turned 40, I think. He may not even be 40 yet, but he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to coach a whole, you know, lifetime of NFL life. So he almost retired a couple of years ago. So it's one of those things that I think he's got the opportunity to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what do we got?
I can give you my quick 2 minutes on why you should pay attention to the Royals.
Let's do it.
Yeah, they're
on a 7-game win streak with the third best record in the American League. They have outscored their opponents in this perfect homestand that they just completed, 48-13. Their pitching staff has pitched at least five. Their starting pitching core has pitched at least five innings in every single game and allowed three or less runs for one of the best starting pitcher ERAs in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's like a 1.96 or something. Isn't it?
It's even if you double their ERA, it's still above league average.
Yeah,
and you know Bobby Witt Jr. Like this game, Bobby Witt Jr. hit two home runs for five RBIs. Salvador Perez is, you know, the captain. He's going to continue to be good. Vinny Pasquantino has seven RBIs in two games. Look, this is a team that I think Kansas City should buy back into because everything is working for them right now, and this is a team that I wanted them to be 500 by the end of the month, and I had them going 14-14. They are four games. They have a 4-game lead on my thoughts because I thought they would only win one against the Astros, and I thought they would split against the White Sox. And like I said, they had a 7-0 homestand for the first time since 1985. Now, in the defense of the Royals, 7-game homestands is an odd number, so I don't know how many opportunities you have to win seven straight games at home, like a perfect homestand like that, because 4-game series, it's insanely hard to win 4 games in a row with the same team.
Absolutely.
So 7, to win seven games in a row, like to have a seven-game homestand, is kind of rare to do just because of the way the schedule worked out. But, yeah, pay attention to the Royals. And if you're complaining that it's because you can't watch them, you can listen to them for free on the radio at 610 or on 610sports.com. You can just, you know, listen to them. Jake Eisenberg is great at his job. And, you know, Denny Matthews is a Hall of Fame broadcast.
Denny Matthews, man. I can't believe he's still doing it after all these years.
Yeah. He only does home games now, but, you know, he has literally been there since the Royals were founded in Kansas City.
I know. Perfect. Yeah, he's been around for a long time. Well, that's cool, man. The only thing I would have to say to that is they did play the White Sox, and the Astros were beat to death. So they got a lot of injuries on that team. So, I mean, I'm glad they're doing so well right now. I just want to see how they do when they play, like, the teams that are above them, like the Yankees. And
they have been – how about here's this. They have been either down by one, tied, or winning by one run in every single game.
Well, that says a lot. So
they have not been the team that's been, you know, blown out by the first inning. In fact, they literally scored 9 runs in the first inning against the against the Astros today.
Yeah.
So, look, this is a fun team to watch. Obviously, the starting pitching is not going to stay at the level that it is. The bats, all the bats being as hot as they are, is probably not. It's probably not going to stay the way that it is right now. But you know what? Enjoy it while it lasts, because Kansas City is half a game out of first place in the American League Central.
That's right. That's right. Well, I don't know what else we got, guys. We appreciate everybody for joining. If all of you guys would actually go on YouTube and just give us a subscribe. A like and subscribe, that would be great. Buy us a cup of coffee. And with that being said, we will talk to you guys again on Tuesday with some more news and updates. Oh, one quick thing. We are trying, Thiz and I are trying to put together a show for the draft, and we want to involve the fans. So make sure you got your notifications on, because we will be putting that out as soon as we get everything put together. So make sure you're paying attention for that. And we will talk more about that as the next coming week. So that's it. We will talk to you guys again Tuesday. Peace out, everybody.